I'm excited about what God has in store for this year. How many guys here today are excited about 2009? All right. Well, today we're beginning a mini-series entitled A Taste of the Divine in 09. And the subtitle is this: Hearing Problems? You know, God is divine, and He wants to give you a taste of His goodness this year. God is good. He's the author of good. He's got something good in store for you and for me. And friend, you may have had disappointments in 2008. Maybe missed opportunities. Maybe a relationship that you should have worked on that you did not. Maybe a job or a educational opportunity that slipped through your fingers. And today, at the beginning of 09, you may be living with some regret. Maybe in your mind you're wondering, I would have, I could have, I should have. Friend, let's leave the would haves, could haves, and should haves where they belong. They belong in the past. Let's leave that in the past and let's go forward with the wonderful thing that God has got for us in 2009. Amen? God has got a miracle in store for you this year. He's got health in place of your sickness. He's got financial provision in place of lack. He's got joy in place of sorrow, peace in the place of turmoil. He has got deliverance from drugs, alcohol, and wrong sexual relationships. You know, God has got a special part and purpose for you in His body. He has got a plan for your life this year. You may have been told in the past that you were an accident going somewhere to happen. Well, whoever told you that was lying, inspired by the devil, because the devil is a liar and the father of lies. You're not an accident going somewhere to happen. You have a very important part to play in this world and in the kingdom of God. You know, a lot of people that drive cars carry a spare tire in the back in case of a flat. And I'm here to tell you today, you are not a spare tire. You have a very vital role to play. You know, friend, in order for you to receive from God the miracle He has for you this year, you have got to hear from God. You have got to hear the voice of God at the beginning of this year and throughout the year. You see, hearing God at the beginning of this year may determine how 2009 ends for you. Will 2009 end with regret or with satisfaction? I want 2009 to end with satisfaction in my life. How about you guys? All right, but you've got to hear the voice of Almighty God. You know, it was interesting, as I was preparing this message today, I was on the Tulsa World website, on the homepage, and there was a hearing aid company here in town that was advertising itself. And it flashed up the image of a man with his left hand on his left ear. And on the bottom of that advertisement, it said, hearing problems? In other words, the hearing aid company was trying to say that if you've got physical hearing problems, we have got a solution for you. And as I saw that advertisement, I thought, you know what? That kind of applies to the message today. So we're going to subtitle this message, Hearing Problems. You know, friends, some of you may be having spiritual hearing problems. You might be wondering today, how do I hear the voice of God? And today we're going to explore biblical solutions to this question. Our text comes from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19, and this is about the conversion experience of Saul. Acts chapter 9. And over the next several weeks, we're going to be pulling elements out of the conversion experience of Saul and apply it to our lives at the beginning of this year so that we can have a taste of the divine in 2009. So let's turn to Acts 9 and start reading in verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, I'll read for you. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples.
He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. The way was Christianity. Verse 3. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Verse 10. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias!" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.' Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" Verse 18, "Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength." Acts 9, verses 1 through 19. Now, friend, a most important spiritual thing was happening in these 19 verses. What was it? What important thing was happening in the first 19 verses of Acts chapter 9? Okay. Somebody else?
He was blind, and then his sight was restored.
Okay. All right, good. Those are good answers. Here's what was happening. God was speaking. God the Son, Jesus Christ, was speaking to Saul in verses 4 through 6. And he was speaking to Ananias in verses 11 through 16. God was speaking. Saul and Ananias themselves were doing a very important thing, a key thing. What were they doing? Saul and Ananias were tuning in to what God was saying. Jesus spoke to Saul audibly. You could read it in Acts chapter 9. Audibly meaning that Saul could hear Jesus with his physical ears. And then in verse 10, Jesus appeared to Ananias in a vision. So God was speaking. Saul and Ananias were listening. They were tuning in to what God was saying. Friend, my word of encouragement to you today is this, that you, at the beginning of this year and throughout the year, have got to tune in to what God is saying for you this year. About a relationship. About maybe dating a certain person. About maybe attending a certain church. About maybe moving from this shelter. Applying for a job somewhere. God is speaking. You've got to tune in to what God is saying to you here in 2009. And here's a word of caution. There are voices out there that will be competing for your attention. What kinds of voices? The voice of the world. The voice of the flesh. You know, the voice of the media. The voices of friends and relatives trying to tell you, this is what you need to do, this is how you need to do it. Giving you their opinion. You need to turn off those voices and tune in to the voice of Almighty God. God the Son, Jesus Christ, wants to speak to you like he did with Saul and Ananias. And you know what? Even in this chapter that we just read, in this passage, there were competing voices in Saul's life
and in the life of Ananias. For instance, if you read the first few verses of Acts chapter 9, it said that Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Saul had a hatred for Christians. He thought he was doing God a favor by, you know, threatening believers in Jesus Christ. So in Saul's life, right, what was the competing voice? It was the voice of hatred against Christians, right? And he's on his way to Damascus. And all at once, a blinding light from heaven appears. And Paul is thrown to the ground. He goes blind. And at that point, he turns off the voice of hate. And he tunes in to the voice of Jesus Christ. Ananias. Let's look at Ananias. In verse 10. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. So he's hearing the voice of Jesus. You agree? Verse 11. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Now, verse 13 is where the competing voice tries to speak to Ananias. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. So Ananias is there. He hears the voice of Jesus as Jesus appears to him in a vision. And all at once, in verse 13, this competing voice arises, trying to get Ananias' attention. What voice was that? It was the voice of fear. Look at him. He says in verse 13, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints, your believers in Jerusalem. He's come here with authority from chief priests to arrest all those who believe in your name. So the voice of fear was trying to speak to Ananias, but what did Ananias do? In verse 15, we see that Jesus encourages Ananias. He tells him, it'll be okay, Ananias. In different words, go ahead and do this. I've chosen Saul to be my instrument to bring my gospel to the Gentiles. So at that point, at verse 15, Ananias turns off the voice of fear. And he tunes in completely to the voice of Jesus. What's the evidence that he tuned in completely to the voice of Jesus? The evidence is that he obeyed Jesus. He went to where Saul was staying. He laid his hands upon Saul. He was filled with the Spirit. The scales fell from his eyes. And Ananias ministered to Saul. That makes sense? So even in your walk with God, there's going to be voices out there that will vie for your attention. Try to get your attention. Friend, I'm here to tell you today, turn those voices off like Saul and Ananias did. And tune in to the voice of Almighty God to hear what He is saying to you in 2009. Is that making sense today? All right. You might be asking now, well, you know, how does God speak? In order for me to tune into the voice of God and hear what He's saying to me, I've got to know how God speaks. Maybe you're here having some spiritual hearing problems. And so for the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about some of the ways in which God speaks so that you can tune into His voice and hear for your life. How does God speak? Number one. How many know that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came to dwell on the inside of you? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. When you said, Jesus, come into my life, Jesus, be my Savior, the Spirit of God took up residence on the inside of you. Holy Spirit came to dwell on the inside of you. And one of the ways that the Holy Spirit will speak to you, God will speak to you with a still, small voice of peace. That's one of the ways in which God speaks. You can read an instance of this in the Old Testament. We don't have enough time today, but it's found in 1 Kings 19, verses 10 and forward, where Elijah was hearing, and all at once, he heard the gentle whisper of God. Read it for yourself. 1 Kings 19, verses 10 and forward. So this year, you may be wondering, what career path do I take? What educational opportunity do I take? What person do I build a relationship with? Which ministry do I involve myself with? God, is this the one? Is this it? And if God is saying yes, you will hear the still small voice of peace on the inside saying, yes, this is the path I have for you. Take it. But if God is saying no to you, you won't have any peace on the inside. Follow the peace on the inside. When God is saying yes, He will give you His peace. If He is saying no, there will be no peace on the inside. You know, I'm going to give you a personal example. Back in 2002, my church was having a leadership conference in October of 2002. And they broke down all the people attending into five different groups. And one of the groups was a missionary group. And on the first day of this conference, I happened to be part of the missionary group. And you were supposed to be part of that group for the entire 3 days of the conference. So for the first day, I went to this missionary group and got to know them a little bit, talked with them a little bit. And on the second day, I just did not sense a peace on the inside about remaining with this missionary group of ministers. I sensed God saying, today, the second day, join the traveling ministers group. So I spoke to my leader of the missionary group and said, hey, you know what? I sense on the inside that I'm supposed to join the traveling ministers group. So that was a Tuesday. I joined that group, and they broke that group down into two smaller groups. And I was doing a lot of work in the country of India at that time, a lot of missionary work. So we were needing resources and finances to continue God's work in India. And there was this one lady who was in my group, the traveling ministers group, who kept asking me questions. And after it was over, she asked me some more questions at the very end. And she said, Jonathan, God spoke to me about giving to five different ministries. Meet with me tomorrow. I'll have a check for you. I said, praise God. So tomorrow came. And I happened to see her. We waved at each other. And I thought to myself, is this woman going to give me a check? I wonder. Lo and behold, she found me later on that day on Tuesday. And she handed me an envelope. Friend, and I kid you not, of what was in that envelope. I was thinking maybe $50, maybe $100, maybe $150, maybe $200. I opened up the envelope, and in that envelope was a check for $1,000.
Amen.
Had I not listened to that still small voice to join the traveling ministers group on the second day, I probably would have never received that $1,000 gift to continue the work of God there in India. You see? God has got something special in store for you this year, but you've got to follow the still small voice of peace on the inside. There is a miracle on the other side of your obedience. So the first way in which God speaks is with a still small voice of peace. The second way in which God speaks, most times God will speak to you through His written word. Let's see what the psalmist writes about the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Now imagine this. He likens the word of God to a lamp. It gives light to dark places. Let's make the physical comparison here. Imagine this room pitch dark at 12 midnight. Can't see anything, right? Trying to get around in here, but you might be tripping over a chair, tripping over some piece of furniture in this room here at the shelter, and I can't see my way around. But if you got this little thing called a flashlight, and you shine it, what does it do? It makes the path clear so that you can see where you are going. You won't be bumping into things in furniture, right? You have a clear path. It's the same way with the Word of God, friends. You may be in some dark places in your life today. not knowing what to do. Maybe it's a relationship with someone and you don't know how to go about it. I encourage you, friend, to talk to God in prayer and say, God, speak to me about what I must do concerning this relationship. And His Word, His written Word, will give you light in the midst of that dark situation in your life. It will enlighten your path. For instance, say that you're up in the morning, right? And you're doing your morning devotional. All of us should do a morning devotional. You know, praying and reading from the Word of God. And say, one morning you happen to be, just as hypothetical here, in Matthew chapter 5. And maybe there's somebody in your life, in that relationship, that has really, really hurt you. They wounded you in some way. And you're doing your morning devotional. And you come to Matthew 5:43, and you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And Jesus says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. And, you know, it may not be anybody in the past that hurt you, but as you go about your day and your daily activity, somebody does something to hurt you. They lie about you. They try to ruin your name. And you're angry on the inside. You know, the first natural human reaction is, I want to get even with this person. But then God speaks to you. You say, God, I don't know what to do. God, what do I do about this person who lied to me? God, I need to hear your voice. And God says, remember what you read this morning in Matthew 5:43. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's your answer. That's your answer. And you think to yourself, wow, love my enemies. Pray for those who persecute me. God, what are you saying? He says, I'm saying forgive your offender. See, in that situation, God spoke to you. How did He speak to you? Through His written word, right? Does that scenario make sense? Making sense? All right. So God speaks with a still small voice of peace. He speaks through His written word most times. He will also speak to you through visions and dreams. He spoke to Ananias in Acts 9, verse 10, in a vision. He appeared to Ananias in a vision. Now, let's look at another historical account of how God speaks in dreams. Matthew chapter 2. Jesus was a little baby. All right? Herod was out to kill Jesus. Let's look at Matthew 2, verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Verse 14 of Matthew 2. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Joseph really didn't know what to do, right? But an angel of God appeared to him how? In a dream. He received guidance from God through a dream. Leave Israel now and go to Egypt. Verse 19, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. Herod had died. Again, God appeared to Joseph. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, you can go back to Israel now. Herod is dead. And Joseph obeyed. God spoke to Joseph twice in a dream. If He did it for Joseph, friends, He can do it for you. He can speak to you in visions and in dreams. Now, not all dreams are from God. But if you have a dream and you have it again, and you have it again, God may be trying to say something to you. He may be trying to warn you about something. Obey the voice of God trying to speak to you through a dream. And finally, how does God speak? He can speak through a respected minister or a person whom you respect in your life. You may be wondering about something. You have a question about something in your life. And, you know, God can speak through another human being for you that you look up to, that you respect. He really can. He's done it many times before. Now, friends, to close this off today, not only are we to hear the voice of God, but we're to do what?
Listen.
We're to hear the voice of God, and we are to... Number two, we're to obey the voice of God. How many want to be blessed in 2009? How many want a taste of the divine in 09? You've got to obey what God is telling you. Let's look at Isaiah 1. Final scripture, Isaiah 1:19. This is what it says. If you are willing, you will eat, willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I would say this in verse 19 of Isaiah 1. If you are willing to hear the voice of God, and obedient to do what God is telling you to do, you will eat from the best of the land. What is the land in your life? It may be physical healing, financial provision, reconciliation in a relationship. Your land could be peace in place of turmoil. Your land could be deliverance from a bondage, like drugs or alcohol. If you're obedient to what God is telling you to do, you will eat from the best of the land. You will be blessed. You will receive that physical healing. You will receive financial provision. You will receive that job. You will receive that peace. You will receive that reconciled relationship. You will receive that deliverance from something that is trying to hold you down. But you've got to obey the voice of God. On the other hand, verse 20, but if you resist and rebel, if you resist what God is telling you to do, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How many this year will endeavor to tune in to what God is saying? Tune in to hear the voice of God for your life. How many here not only will hear, but will obey what God is telling you to do? Raise your hand if that's you. Amen. And friends, I'm telling you, God has got something special for you this year. God can see so much further than we can. Why don't we get our advice from Him? Say, God, I've got a question. God, I've got a challenge. I've got something that concerns me. I can see only so far ahead. I'm limited. But God, I serve You, the unlimited God. Speak to me. I want to do what You're telling me to do. I'm tuning into Your voice, God. Speak to me with that still small voice of peace, or through Your written word, or through a dream and a vision, or through some person I respect in my life. And God, I vow to obey what You're telling me to do. And if you do so, friends, you will have a taste of God's goodness this year. Amen.